Blog Talk Radio.
Says better to be aware of wide smiling Americans like quote-unquote drug warrior Vice President Biden, who, as Senator Joe Biden, was directly responsible for enacting draconian drug laws here in our United States. He voted for extraordinarily harsh drug laws, lauded them for political gain, and displays at every turn his theatrically wide, toothy smile about them. Today, our great nation's vice president flashes that large plastic smile, accentuating his political periods to convince you he is sincere. Of course, my fellow Americans and I recognize the old-time Joe Biden as a complete phony who will smile, quote-unquote, on political cue. And to our great misfortune, our great nation's president, President Obama, is adopting the Biden, quote-unquote, toothy grin for much the same reasons. Lately, with big toothy grin, the vice president, along with President Obama, emphatically reinforced the draco approach to drug control by boasting in no uncertain terms the United States will stay on the same favored course the quote-unquote drug war has always driven. No matter 40 years quote-unquote drug war of ruinous death and destruction, or for that matter, whatever peaceful solution many people here in America and across the world want. No, the intransigent, yet all smiles, Obama/Biden will not consider, not even on a small scale, the quote-unquote legalization approach, not those two. They just keep smiling as the band plays on. Thus, here's the inside line. Be warned and aware, wide-smiling, quote-unquote drug warrior Americans almost always are telling you lies. When the U.S. president and vice president tell you, complete with big smiles, the quote-unquote drug war is just fine, believe me, it is time to tighten your helmet.
I am.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Q65. It came to me, talking about love there. Of course, Q65, been on the show quite a bit in the last couple of months. Of course, if you guys don't know what show this is, it's DBTCR-FM, or the Draconia Vampire Tunnel is Closed for Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. As I mentioned, Q65, they've been on here quite a bit the last couple of months, and you can expect more of them in 2013, which is, I don't know, that might be kind of a hard promise to follow through on since they don't make music anymore. Might eventually run out. Anyway, we got some other great shit on the show tonight. We got, of course, more Casio Tone for the Perfectly. Still having problems with that. Painfully Alone, Black Moth Super Rainbow. We also have Corporal Robot Lips, as well as Breton and Starfucker. Plenty other shit as well. So it's a year-end special, actually. Late night year-end special radio brought to you, of course, by the Literary Underground. And, yeah, man, it's been kind of a crazy year. We did mention a couple of months back, or actually a couple shows back, that we missed our, I guess it was our annual anniversary or what have you. But I kind of feel like that was the right thing to do because this is the last show of 2012 for DBTCR-FM. And I don't know, man, it's been one hell of a ride, and we're going to keep going. In 2013, we got some more stuff in the works for you. Lots of great independent artists that will be coming through, and maybe we can get a couple of them to come on these shows every now and again. Who knows? Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808. We're going to start the show off with a little bit of Black Moth Super Rainbow, the mysterious, enigmatic Black Moth Super Rainbow. Name of this song is called Smile Heavy. We'll be right back.
Vance alone in a room, facing the blank corner in which he stood. both arms stiffly upraised and two fingers of each hand out in peace signs. It began to become clear that, through the space of television, Vance Vigorous enjoyed a special relationship with Richard Nixon. As Watergate wore on in brilliant color, Vance took to furtive looks, pinched whiteness around the bridge of his nose, refusals to explain his whereabouts or give reasons for what he did. My tape recorder, admittedly tapeless and not even plugged in, but nevertheless my tape recorder, began to appear places, under the dining room table at dinner, in the back seat of the car, under our bed, in the drawer of the mail table. Vance would, when confronted, look blankly at the tape recorder and at us. Then he would pretend to look at his watch. After the resignation, Vance was sick in bed for a week with very real symptoms. We were frightened. There followed years in which he silently, but with formal expression, forgave every apparent wrong done him by us in the world, would fall and cover his chest with his hands at the slightest criticism, would flip backwards off the couch in the living room and land nicely on both feet, putting cracks in the ceiling each time. He would wear his tiny suit to school and enlist a follower to carry the tiny briefcase he insisted we give him for Christmas, would walk blindfolded through rooms littered with torn drawings of the flag. Who knew what most of this was? This was the world for the monadic Vance Vigorous received and mirrored through himself. I preferred him to the world, really.
It was a Black Moth Super Rainbow with Smile Heavy. As I mentioned, these guys are kind of mysterious. There's not really much that's known about them. You might need to ask Bud Smith. I think Bud Smith knows a lot about a lot of bands. Actually, a lot about a lot of everything, probably. It's a wise motherfucker. Yeah, definitely. We do have a caller on line one. I will be back with them momentarily. First, I did want to get this out of the way. The Michael Yonkers Band. That's the name of the artist, I guess. Name of the song is Jason Town. Yep, Jason Town. Sure enough. We'll be right back.
Come on, come on.
Michael Yonkers, who first picked up an electric guitar in 1962, the Michael Yonkers band, that was Jason Town, which, if he's describing the unincorporated community of Jason Town, Maryland, then he's lumping together other such communities and municipalities of Carroll County as Elysia, Hawkesville, Mayberry, Louisville, Melrose, Mexico, New Mexico, and Woodstock. I truthfully don't know how this makes me feel. In any case, that was a great song by Michael Yonkers band. Another strange cat who will be making a lot more appearances in 2013. But right now, we have a caller on line one, coming from area code 720. I'm going to bring them in and see what's going on. Area code 720, you're live.
Hey, it's Dustin. Happy almost New Year.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Happy almost New Year to you as well, sir. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dustin Holland, I'm glad you're here, sir.
I'm glad I'm here also.
Yeah, well, you have been a big highlight on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel 2012. It was really great having you on the show a couple of times that we have had you on. And we're hoping that we're going to see more of you in 2013 or hear more of you.
Yeah, for sure. I always like calling in when I'm still conscious. It's always fun.
Nice, nice. Of course, Dustin will be representing part of the Literary Underground and Clefjaw, at Rhino Seropolis on January 12th, I believe. Is it the 12th?
I think it's the 12th. Wasn't something happening on the 11th, or is that...
We're going to do something, I believe. Now, from what I understand, we might be just reading in William Seward Bonney's living room, which that's totally cool with me. I'm totally
yeah,
down for
fine.
That. That'll be a foggy living room for sure. So, most definitely. But yeah, man, like, I don't know. You're coming in on the Rhino Seropolis, which will be at 9 p.m. That'll be the Literary Underground versus the Tiny Amp Records. Thing, yeah, the event,
yeah,
and looking forward to that as well. And I wanted to tell you that I actually brought Milo to the show tonight because of
very cool.
Yeah, dude, I really dug that stuff. I appreciate the suggestion. We'll be playing that here momentarily.
Yeah, that guy's great.
Oh yeah. I was wondering if maybe you had something to contribute to the show tonight, sir, sort of like a...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Cool. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a little bit, and I'm going to play
cool,
this next
thanks.
Song. Just hang out with us for a moment.
Definitely.
Let me see. Yeah, here we go. Cassio Tone for the Painfully Alone, which has been a band that's been coming by a lot lately. And I can't help it. I've got like a kind of addiction to this music all of a sudden. This is Cassio Tone for the Painfully Alone. The name of the song is White Jetta. Right here at Draconian Vampire Tunnel is Close Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro, and yeah, we'll be right back.
Look, you're beginning to bother me. I could bludgeon you with my belly. I am also, allow me to tell you, more than a little well-to-do. Do you see that building over there? The one with the lit windows and the shadow. I own that building. I could buy this restaurant and have you terminated. I could, and perhaps will, buy this entire block, including that symbolically tiny Weight Watchers establishment across the street. You see it? With the door and windows so positioned as to form a grinning, leering, hollow-cheeked base, it is within my financial power to buy that place and fill it with steaks, fill it with a red steak, all of which I would and will eat. The door would, under this scenario, be jammed with a gnawed bone, not a single little smug psalm-singing baggy skin apostate from the cause of adiposity would be able to enter. They would pound on the door, pound, but the bone would hold, and they would lack the bulk to burst through. Their mouths and eyes would be wide as they pressed against the glass. I would demolish, physically crush the huge scale at the end of the brightly lit nave at the back of the place under a weight of food. the springs would jut out. Jut! What a delicious series of thoughts. May I see a wine list?
Project U newsfeed for December 28th and 29th of 2012, brought to you, of course, by The Literary Underground. You guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your draconian vampire information, as well as information about your mother's medicine cabinet, Zygote in my radio, as well as Wednesday night service, but not in that order. Today's newsfeed is actually about the meth lab. You guys can go to www.methlab1234.blogspot.com and check out two pretty goddamn amazing pieces by Jason Neese, formerly of killpoet.org, presently of, I don't know, FX Networks or, yeah. And then, of course, we also have Steve Swimmer, originally published in the Root magazine, both of which are really great pieces that are up there right now, so you guys should definitely go by and check that out, especially the What Will Obama Do About Marijuana response article that is posted there. MethLab1234.blogspot.com, please go by and check that out. Also in today's newsfeed, we did want to mention, That was actually in the past. But there is a new anthology of Southern California poetry coming out very soon that will feature the work of Erica Erdman, Frank I, Donna Gebron, Philomene Long, Misty Mallory, Akilah Oliver, Tony Shabella, John Thomas, Scott Womberg, and Effin Wright. Pages featuring the work of 10 remarkable Southern California poets who passed on in the last decade and a half in their lifetimes, were central members of the poetry scene, and that scene continues now without them, as well ultimately without each of us. For those who knew them, they have left memories for friends and newcomers alike. They have left remarkable bodies of work and good friends. They have always been. I'm paraphrasing Michael Miller there. You guys can actually go to www.moontidepress.com /our books /cosmos, which is the name of the anthology be coming out. So definitely go by there, www.moontidepress.com. Look for a Cosmos anthology. Sounds like pretty good. And there was actually a reading at Beyond Baroque last Saturday. Looks like, yeah, last Saturday, that had Artie Armstrong, S.A. Griffin, Picardy Long. Wow, it's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty much it for today's newsfeed. Now, I do have, in my opinion, one of the next generation of poets to be coming around the scene, Mr. Dustin Holland, who knew Scott Womberg pretty well himself. That's correct, right? You talked to Scott on a regular occasion, right?
Yeah, we emailed for like, I don't know, a good email back and forth pretty frequently for like a year and a half maybe. And then he was in the pamphlets and stuff and a pretty key, you know, player, I guess is the word maybe. But like
yeah.
He played a large role in the, you know, development of the guerrilla pamphlets and stuff. So,
see, there you go.
Yeah, he's... Definitely. It's nice to be able to know him.
Hell yeah. We miss Scott Womberg. We miss guys like that. You know, Mike Taylor, Effin Wright. It's like, you know, unfortunately that was one of the things that we went through like the last couple of years is like just all the people that have left out the back door, so to speak. And we really appreciate those guys, man. And fuck yeah, man. That's why we got people like yourself there. That are going to keep that tradition going, man. It's just giving back, paying it forward.
Sure.
All that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Corny shit as it is. I do have Milo coming up next, but I was wondering, you got a couple of minutes there. Do you have something that you wanted to share with us, sir?
All right. Well, yeah, I've got a poem, if that's cool.
Yeah, most definitely, please.
This is actually one I've been thinking about maybe submitting to Clefjaw.
Oh, cool.
Between now and the 1st of January, which I encourage everyone to do with all of their poems and stories. But, the last few todays. Icarus is my... I'll start over. Goddamn. The last few todays. Icarus is my new messiah with a Christ complex, because I believe in the palm as a father figure to elderly nations, and the cremation of Sam McGee is the last will and testament of art. I will spend all morning reading songs of myself in the backyard in the 90-degree heat while an ice cream truck went around in circles, so this is what a year feels like. Smaller versions of flies crawl across the page. The morning commute begins. Joycey and scholars shave their heads with light bulbs dipped in mercury. Guitars are ruthlessly smashed against French-English dictionaries. Mr. Rosewater chases flies with a fire axe. The libraries celebrate. I shake my brother's hand wearing half a man's face and untied shoes. Prose is temporarily abandoned. Trout's future sprawls out over the sky. Leaves shake uncontrollably in applause. Paper fruit goes back and forth on the doorknob for no reason at all, and sunset is just a clerical error. I am on the radio. Lions play the xylophone in swimsuits. Poets in New York move back in with their parents. The streetlight is an echo, and all I want to do is fall into the kind of love that builds houses.
Yeah, man, I really love the metaphor about the ice cream truck driving in circles, and that's what a year feels like. That was fucking dope. It was really cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I got hung up on that one. I think it's got a pretty good chance at cleft jaw, sir. I think so.
Oh, well, thank you.
As the man mentioned, please, everybody out there listening, January 1st is the deadline, which is about 3 days from now. Please go to www.cleftjaw.weebly.com and click on submissions, and please, for the love of God, read the fucking submission guidelines, please. We've just had too much, like, I don't know, there's just been too much BS started over the submission guidelines, and we haven't even put out an issue yet.
It's been a dramatic formation of,
like
pretty nonsensical submissions, and then bitter replies.
Bitter replies, like just completely bitter replies. There's a lot of people out there that get angry about rejection letters, man. They don't like it. They really don't.
And people are intense.
Yeah. Fucking A. You know what's really intense, bro? Is Milo.
Yeah, I like Milo.
Yeah. I really dig this cat. I'm actually going to play this next song. You hang out with us for a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Sounds good.
Right on. This is Post Hoc Ergo Propter Hoc for Schopenhauer by Milo. I'll tell you a little bit more about Milo whenever we get back. I got about 30 minutes left of live streaming. Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808. We'll be right back.
At a time in history when this sort of thing was waning in popularity, they said it was his karma to be born as a member of the master race. They also said that he used to be a Zulu tribesman who cannibalized Christian missionaries.
Tree farm realm, and I can project myself into scenes that I've only seen on films. I'm like a toddler with no sense of object permanence, but I'm abjected, and I'm mighty sure that's gonna be permanent. I name myself after a fictional character, which says a lot about my mental health and various barriers that I've constructed, like a manically depressed Bob the Builder attempting to reject my desires and ask, what the fuck do we have, Wilfer? Steve Martin can play the banjo, and there's a mutant ninja turtle that lives right under this manhole. Take my ego and begin promptly to dismantle till there's nothing left but a skeleton who can't stay on tempo. Long jogs, fitness clubs, the euphemism treadmill. You wonder if you're really alive, and I am asking if I am dead still. Whoa, that line's gonna scare my dad real bad. Whoa, that line's gonna scare my dad real bad. These fallacies are tempting. I wonder if I write Rob another song, will that add to my redemption? I can't ride a skateboard, but I'll replace your ball bearings. People in malls think I'm so fucking scary. Straight edge, vegetarian, but I can't let go of these red herrings. Those posts, hot, ergo propter hockin', I'm a robot. side. You can't stay on top and be supposed to hop. Ergo propter hocking, I'm a robot. You can't stay on top and be told.
He secretly lives with his housekeeper mother, who is currently losing her mind to dementia. He publishes homoerotic science fiction novels on CreateSpace. I'm starting to know too much about their family.
Riverside, California's own The Misunderstood with Who's Been Talking. Before that, you guys heard Milo, which was Milo with Post Hoc Ergo Propter Hoc for Schopenhauer. You can check out his albums at, find those at miloraps.bandcamp.com. Such albums as Milo Takes Baths, I Wish My Brother Rob Was Here, and Concerning the Dream Tigers I Have Seen for Voorhees. Much respect to my Clefjaw cohort, Dustin Holland, for turning me on to this shit, and just for generally being a fucking prodigy. www.clefjaw.weebly.com/submissions. And, you know, you can work with the prodigy yourself. There you go. Yeah. Sorry, man, we're talking about you, Dustin Holland. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I don't know if I'd say prodigy, but...
I think so.
I'm just lucky.
Yeah, lucky my ass. Come on, man. Shit, I was actually going to say, like, there was a lyric. I love that song, Post Hoc Ergo Propter. I liked what he said about, I'm a toddler with no sense of object permanence. It made me think of Ed Standish, actually. If you guys are familiar with Ed Standish, I'm not sure if you are or not, but he shows up on Red Fez Radio every now and again. And that guy is like a toddler with no sense of object permanence. Most definitely. What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't heard Ed Standish in a while.
You haven't met this guy? Yeah.
No. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
He's in the chat room right now, actually, talking shit. So. Yeah.
I don't see the chat room on my thing.
Yeah. Oh, well. You should get a chat room for your phone, Dustin Holland. You should totally get one of those for your phone, like a chat room for your phone. They have those now, right? Like it's 2013.
Yeah.
You can get those, right?
I still have a flip phone, man. I've got to, like, hit all the little number buttons just to send a text message.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hang out with us for a second. Actually, do you got something else that you wanted to read there, sir?
Yeah, sure, I guess. I'm running out of phones that, like, are new and not terrible. So I've got one, but I published it like a year ago on Alternative Reel, but I'm still allowed to read it.
Nice. Well, please do. Please feel free. Go ahead.
Alright. Cool. Alright. What does the Mona Lisa look like from behind right now? I don't really care about the past. I want to know what she looks like now. I'd like to see her mostly finished decomposition and compare it with the original. Did old Leonardo do the shadows under her eyes right? Did his brush capture the longing in her rotting smile? Probably not.
Ooh. I like the venom there at the end there, sir. I don't like using that term very often, to be honest with you, when we're describing literature or whatnot, but every now and again it's appropriate. I don't like that. That's good shit.
Well, I was probably grouchy or something when I wrote it, but...
That's when the best shit comes out. That's when it does. We do have a caller online, too, which we'll be right back with, because I do want them to hang out, as well as you, sir. Don't go anywhere.
All right.
This is Corporal Robot Lips, naming this song, or sound bite, or sound nonsense. It's Praise. You guys are listening to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel and its close to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Yeah, we'll come back.
Oh, Satan.
Thank you.
Tracks a guy that smells like beef jerky.
You guys heard Corporal Robot Lips with Praise. Of course, Praise being for none other than Satan.
Satan.
I love that song. Do you like that shit, Dustin? You like that?
I really liked it. It gave off like a weird, like, John Cage meets Daniel Johnston vibe. But like in a. But at the same time, it sort of felt like whoever made it hated me. So I like that part too, that like it was made to like sort of irritate me, but in like an interesting way. It was fun. It was a fun time.
That's interesting analysis. You know, one person that may be able to shed some light on that is my next guest. And I like your theory there, sir, about it making you feel like, or your observation about it making you feel like somebody hated you that night. Because I felt like you, I really did. Like, I felt like this person's playing a piano all night, and I feel like it was just completely, you know, it was a sardonic method to tickling the keys there, so to speak.
Yeah, it kind of gave off like a I'm messing with you vibe. It was sort of like a practical joke, but I liked it.
Indeed,
but I felt like I was being made fun of.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like the joke was on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Area code 219, you want to shed some light on this observation, sir?
Yeah. This is Charles Bukowski's biggest fan.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I'm calling in. I don't know about shedding light on anything because I don't know what sardonic means, for one. I don't know why I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Do you have like a synonym for that?
Synonym for sardonic?
Yeah.
Let me look that up, actually. Let me just go ahead and I'll Google that real quick.
Sardony?
Let me Google it here.
I think it's sort of like sardines, isn't it?
Sardines.
Yeah. Oh, let me see. Synonym for sardonic would be acerbic, acid, acidic.
What the hell is that?
Barb. I think it's sardines. Isn't that what they, like, package sardines in?
Smart aleck is another synonym for it. Smart aleck. Or smart aleck. Yeah. That's what Miriam says, man. That's what the Merriam-Webster says.
Who on earth is Miriam?
Merriam-Webster.
Never heard of her.
She created the English language.
What, back in the 50s?
That was back in Bible times, sir. 1950s.
I'll tell you what. Right now, Charles Bukowski invented the modern English language, my friend. The modern American English language, my friend. And I think we all owe something to Mr. Bukowski. Or we wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't have this little blog talk radio program. Dustin Holland wouldn't be there. Corporal Robot Lips would not be tickling the ivories. There would be no Merriam-Webster. Think about that.
I think Charles Bukowski's cat wrote all of his poetry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You guys got to start hitting below the belt like that. I'm going to tell you right now. He stands head and shoulders above anything else written in the American English language in the last 473 years.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I was trying to keep from laughing. I promise I was.
I like that totem.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
What's a totem?
Totem pole.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Satan, there's two things in my life. It's Charles Bukowski and Satan. You know, there's no smart allegory or any of that kind of stuff when it comes to singing praises for the dark one, for the evil one.
Yeah.
I really resent that Dustin Holland would come up with some type of crack-ass review or summary of the song that, you know, paints Corporal Robot Lips to be some type of smart aleck who's playing a joke when he was at worship, my friend. He was worshiping, you son of a bitch.
Dustin, how do you respond to these allegations, sir?
Well, I didn't mean to offend. I just sort of figured that how better to worship Satan than to play practical jokes on people.
I gotta agree with Dustin on that point.
Oh, now Satan's funny.
That's
huh?
how I do it.
Yeah, Satan's always been funny.
I'll tell you who's not funny is Charles Bukowski's not funny. And I'll tell you right now, if you two half-wits want to have your little blog talk program at end of the year or whatever it is, it's about time. What is Factotum, anyhow?
Factotum
is...
books.
Yeah,
it's a book. I think his cat wrote that in 1638, actually. Which is when
1638 sounds about right. And then it was made into a movie with his cat's children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And
Matt Dillon is Charles Bukowski's cat's son, Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
You know, like, you ever looked up a cat's butthole?
Yeah, they're, like, really weird.
I'm more of a dog person, frankly.
Yeah, I see.
Did your dog ever have worms come out of its butthole?
Oh, my God.
Not for a while. You know, I mean, I sort of stopped putting them up there after, I learned my lesson.
Holland, I could tell you something that happened to me, sir.
Oh, yeah?
I went over to the Humane Society. This is several years ago. And I got this little puppy out of there, man. And they gave it a bunch of shots and a bunch of things like that, and it started firing out all these weird, like, linguine worms all over the kitchen floor, you know? And they said that was normal. I said damn things are supposed to fall out of their buttholes like that. But I had a real hard time getting them up off the floor because, you know, it's like that gag reflex, you know?
Yeah.
And so I left them there.
Well, anal catworms. I was just going to say that anal catworms will cause a reaction in your gag reflex. They have a tendency to do
anal
that.
Anal catworms?
Yeah, you should eat those.
Yeah.
What kind of a year-end show are you guys doing anyhow?
The best kind.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand what's going
on.
Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I would like for future reference on this show, I would like for Satan to be viewed at in a serious light. I don't want any of this joking around stuff when his name is mentioned. The same way I feel about Charles Bukowski. If you're going to mention him on this show or you're going to talk about his work or anything like that, I want reverence at all times.
Notice.
So now I have a new theory, though. I've been thinking about it over the last minute, and I think that Charles Bukowski is really just Charles Bukowski's cat, and that Charles Bukowski's cat is probably Satan. So,
ooh, good point.
You know, you take my gods, so you take my gods and you dump them in the toilet bowl, and then you want me to sit here and be nice.
Well, it's more like a litter box.
Aww.
You know what, man? I'll tell you something, Justin. Right now, who's that gal with the beef jerky on her?
What gal with the beef jerky? Where do you see that at?
There was some gal on here, she said she wants to put beef jerky on her.
God. What? I think you're looking at the wrong website there, guy.
No, man, there was a sound clip, man. This gal came on here. She said, I want to be a gal who's got beef jerky rubbed all over my body. There was a sound clip on this show. Who the hell's the producer? Get him on.
That would be Charles Bukowski's other cat, actually, the producer of the show.
You guys just aren't going to quit, are you?
No. I'll tell you what I will do for you, sir. I'll tell you what I will do for you.
Yeah.
I'll play this next song.
Right,
we'll play
you.
This next song for you.
Right.
Yeah. This is Brett.
Hey,
I'm going to cool off now, Justin.
It's cat. It's not music.
It's not music. It's
well, not if it's not being performed by one of Bukowski's cats.
What,
I was just getting to that. It is one of
Bukowski's
cats.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I'm your last damn fan, and you people are running me off. You know?
This is Bukowski's cat, or Breton. Name of the song is Oxides, or Bukowski's Poetry. I'm hoping it's not the latter. We'll be right back.
The wheel, the cursed wheel, the locomotive is out. The wheel, the cursed wheel, the locomotive is out. The wheel, the cat's eyes, the pit piece is out. The wheel, the cat's eyes,
is 2 years into a BA in psychology. He wants to be a therapist, but when I try to imagine talking to him about my problems, I picture him naked instead. Soft and pudgy with very smooth skin. I imagine he uses a lot of lotion.
Casio tone for the painfully alone with a normal suburban lifestyle is near impossible, etc., etc., etc. Before that, you guys heard Breton with Oxides. And before that, you heard our guests Tim Murray and Dustin Holland. Guys, I really appreciate both of you hanging out with me last show of the year. It's kind of a monumental occasion. I feel a lot closer to the both of you right now. I just want you both to know that.
Oh, well, thank you.
I just heard that girl again. But I wonder, he's naked.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I don't know.
Maybe make something about this right here, friend. How much time do we have left?
We got like another 53 minutes, actually.
A master plan. Starving in a Philadelphia winter, trying to be a writer. I wrote and wrote and drank and drank and drank, and then stopped writing and concentrated on the drinking. It was another art form. If you haven't have any luck with one thing, you try another. Of course, I've been practicing on the drinking form since the age of 15. And there was much confidence in that field also. It was a world full of drunks and riders and drunk riders. And so I became a starving drunk instead of a starving rider. The best thing was the instant result. And I soon became the biggest and best drunk in the neighborhood and maybe the whole city. It sure as hell beats sitting around waiting for those rejection slips from the New Yorker and Clef Jaw. Of course, I never really considered quitting the writing game. I just wanted to give it a 10-year rest, figuring if I got famous too early, I wouldn't have anything left for the stretch run, like I have now. Thank you. With the drinking thrown in. The gospel according to Bukowski.
God damn. You're goddamn right that Bukowski got a rejection letter from Clef Jaw. Or actually, we sent it to his cat. Be honest with you.
They're the same person. The Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a... Can I read a Charles Bukowski poem?
Please.
Charles?
Yeah, please do.
Charles Bukowski of 2011 sits alone in his trailer drinking olive oil in front of a children's movie about birds in a room full of cat shit.
Wait, can you read the last lines one more time there, sir? I think just one more time there.
The Charles Bukowski of 2011 sits alone in her trailer drinking olive oil in front of a children's movie about birds in a room full of cat shit.
Oh, yes, beautiful. That's fucking art right there.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, no, you know what? I wish I had a Charles Bukowski poem to read. Unfortunately, I use all my Charles Bukowski books to wipe my ass. So, I don't
I kind of like Bukowski.
You're killing me. Well, you know. Yeah, I can't begrudge you for that, Dustin. I'm sorry. I won't begrudge you for liking a little bit of Bukowski. I won't do that. But, goddamn. It's just sad to hear.
Yeah, like, William Blake were the first poets I got into.
Oh, well, okay, all right. You put in, I like William Blake a lot. That was actually one of the first poems I ever read, or was read to me, was Tiger. That was one of the first things. Yeah, I love that shit. I love it. Dustin, I really appreciate you hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, man, anytime, definitely please feel free to come back. And as Dustin mentioned earlier, we are running a magazine called Clef Jaw that is sending rejection letters to your cat, maybe. You guys can go to www.cleft, K-L-E, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, Jaw, J-A-W as in William, .weebly.com. And check out the submissions and what have you. A lot of great stuff up on there, as well as like a blog. I think there's a blog on there, right?
Yeah, I think so. We haven't added anything to it. Maybe we should write something about Bukowski's cat / the devil.
I love it. I love it. We should jump on that.
For sure.
Most definitely. I'm assigning that one to you, sir. I'm going to let you handle that.
Yeah. I'll write some sort of new doctrine in the spirit of Aleister Crowley / Charles Bukowski.
I love it. Love it. Sounds like a plan. You guys have been listening to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. Is closed repairs. Appreciate everybody that came by in 2012, gave us a listen, gave us a chance. You know, even though you may have given us a chance and immediately taken it back, fuck it. We appreciate the first opportunity. I'm going to end the show and the year, for that matter, with a little song from Starfucker, Starfucker, or you can spell it the right way. The name of the song is Hard Smart Beta, Draconian Vampire Tunnel. It's open for admissions. We'll catch you guys in 2013. Peace.
The heterosexual men who work in banquets are typically convicted felons or alcoholics with at least 2 DWIs on the record, or people who are pretending to work to avoid suspicion or parole officers. Santa Fe is a little bit different. The El Dorado employees are more outwardly polished but have a different set of severe psychological problems. They are more likely to be young and living with their parents in Santa Fe and to get off on the power of having more authority than a stupid temp who doesn't know basic things like where to find the butter balls or the laundry room.
That made up the chemistry, a gaseous element that burned down your ministry. Herbal vapors and biblical paper, smoking exodus. Every square yard is plush. Fuck the screw face, photo sessions, facial expression leaves impressions. try to keep a sharp nigga guessing. Give phrases and shouts, I'm here to outcome. Cut across, semi-gloss, rhymes and floor. Shit is outdated, just like neck loads of Sherlins. Suede fronts, bell bottoms, and tri-color Sherlins. I ain't particular, I bang like vehicular homicides on July 4th in Best Shot. But money don't grow on trees, and there's Steve and MCs who cut throat to rake leaves. They can't breathe, blood splash, rushing fast like running rivers. I'll be that whiskey in your liver.
This is not an 85 affair, made clear when the guards geared on to perform. Storms blew up, moves up, causing the crowd to self-destruct. Killer bees are stinging something while I reveal. Science is heavily guarded by the culprit. Bombing your barracks with aerodynamics foreplay. Poison darts by the doorway. Mines that's laced with explosive doses. Damaging lyrical launcher. Lunge at the youthful offender, the ninja. Any contender. Testing the murderous master could lead to disaster. Dynamite thoughts explode through your barrier. Rips the retina. Who can withstand the astonishing, punishing stings to the sternum? Shocked in the hip hop livestock. Speaking for a serum to cure him.
Thugs kill for drugs, plus the young bucks bust. Ducking handcuffs, throats get cut when dough rush. Out of town foes look shook but still pose. We move like real pros through the streets we stroll. Bullet holes lace the windows in 160. So control the avenues, that's the dream that's sold. Building lobbies, the graveyards of small timers. Bitches caught in airport, keys in their vaginas. No peace, yo, the police mad corrupt. You get bagged up, depending if you're passing a cut. Plus, shorty's not a shorty no more. He's living heartless, regardless of the charges. Claims to be the hardest individual. Critical thoughts, criminal minded. Blinded by illusion, finding it confusing.
Hands up behind your mind. Just that trick, two baby strike. Pull up the iron.